علامہ سیریز کتاب ان دا پاسٹ اٹ واز پارٹ آف دا سلیبی آف مینی مدرساز اٹ واز ناٹ میڈ پارٹ آف دا سلیبی دیٹ دا اسٹوڈنٹ می پرفیکٹ ہز عربک or his literature or his eloquence and fluency in the language. Rather it was to soften the person's heart. When the heart is softened and it's pliant, then you can take it to the direction that you want to. Well, it's soft, it's pliant, it's like wax. Whichever shape, whichever mold you want to give it, you can give it. Now, these things are used to create that softness in the heart. And the softness of the heart may seem to be a very insignificant thing, whereas the Quran Sharif says, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. That heart that is hardened, it's unfortunate, it's wretched. Why? Because it's hard. When it's hard, then you can't give it any mold. It's already hard in its ways. You see, like a candle, before it takes the shape of that candle, it is soft. But once it's hardened, now can you give it a shape? You can't. Cement, when it is still liquid, it is still soft. You can still give it a mold, right? You can still shape it. But once it's hardened, then you can't give it a shape. So the same law applies to the heart. As long as it is soft, you can give it a shape. You can give it a mold. You can give it a direction. But once it's hardened, then you can't. So these kitabs are prepared to soften the heart. And once the heart is softened, then you can take it, give it any direction. Look at the Sahaba Kiram, who they were, what they were, and with Islam, what they became. Man has got the heart to take his girl, his daughter, is born, and infanticide was committed in various ways. At times it was in this way, that as the woman is about to deliver, so they would dig a pit. Right outside the house, a pit is dug, and once the child is delivered, if it is declared that it's a woman, it's a girl, and thrown straight away into the pit, from the mother's stomach into the pit. And they won't think anything about it. And sometimes it would be that as the child grew up, 4 or 5 years of age, then the father would say, alright, just dress the child up, I'm going to my friend's place or my cousin's place. So take the, just dress the child up. And child is dressed with good clothing, ornaments, etc., and takes the child to a remote place and digs up a hole. And the child also cooperates with the father in digging the hole. When the hole is dug, the pit is dug, then this child is pushed into it. And the child is crying, Abba, Abba, Daddy, Daddy. It's crying for no more. And the father got that heart, he's merciless, to throw hounds of sand upon the child, mounds of sand upon the child. Child is crying away, wailing, Abba, what are you doing? What are you doing to me? But he's got the heart to do this much. So this was the one side of these people, until when Rasulullah had discovered these people and the gem that they have and what he made out of them. What he made out of them is they are lying in the throes of death, all suffering thirst, and one is saying, pass the water to my brother. Pass the water to my brother. I can die, but let my brother live. Pass the water on to my brother. I will die, but let my brother live. So from which level to which level Rasulullah had brought them? Can you understand the level that he brought them? One level, what level they were at, and now what level are they in now? A single cry can be sounded from the furthest part of India. Okay, we're going through some oppression. Just one cry of a single person, solitude. One person is crying in India, one Muslim is crying. And the Sahaba Kiram and those that came after, they are restless. No, there's one single cry of a Muslim person who's being hurt, who's being oppressed unjustly. We need to go to his rescue. And a whole battalion goes to rescue that one single person, and a whole battalion goes to rescue this person here. So from which end to which end? So this was that softness that was created with the work of Rasulullah SAW, with the presence of Rasulullah SAW, with his teaching, with his barakat, and with his love and compassion. And that love and compassion was such that it transcended mankind even to animals. It reached even animals. In the hadith it is reported, Rasulullah was passing by some bagh. There was a camel at a distance. It saw Rasulullah and it began to cry. Just saw Rasulullah and began to cry. Until Rasulullah went to it, he comforted the animal until it quietened down, it calmed off. And then he called for the owner. Rasulullah explained to the owner, this thing is complaining that you're overburdening it and you're underfeeding it, undernourishing it. So that animal also recognizes the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It didn't cry to anybody else, but it cried to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why? What was the reason? It saw compassion. That animal also saw that compassion in the heart of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That it cried. It didn't cry to anybody else but Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. As a Zirara, his incident is in Futuh al-Sham. And he's mounted on his horse, and the whole day he's been fighting. He's active in the fight, active. And towards the end of the day, that horse now can't manage it any longer, and it's giving up. I can't manage it any longer. So he took hold of the ear of the animal, and he whispered into its ear, "If today you betray me, tomorrow I'll complain to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that you betrayed me." It's recorded there that that animal also teared. Hin hinaya, it neighed and it cried. And then it just built up some strength from nowhere. Where the strength came, Allah Pak knows. It built up the strength. In the meanwhile, as a Zirara, had no weapon at that time. So the way he fought thereafter is on two legs, on the two legs of the animal. He's absolutely exhausted. And he mounted it, raised up the two legs, and the horse would throw the punch with his leg and knock off the enemy. So even the animal had that love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It transcended man, it transcended human beings. It went on to the jinnat. Even the jinnat had the love for Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who did not have that love? So this love, one is to inculcate and to harness this love, to cultivate this love. That's the one duty, and that one duty is to cultivate that love, not to leave it at that one level, to cultivate it, to grow it up. How can I expand this love? How can I cultivate this love? How can I increase this love? So that's the one thing that is required, to cultivate that love. The love can't be just left, but I need to cultivate it. It's a tree. It's a business. You can't just leave it. You need to cultivate it. You need to grow the thing. So the love needs to be cultivated. Because deen is such, okay, there isn't a thing like anything. There isn't a thing like thing being stagnant in deen. You're either moving forward or backwards. If you're not moving forwards, then you're going backwards. But you want to be stagnant, you can't. There's no such a thing. Wherever you are, whether you are in the madrasa, whether you are in your business, whether you are in your profession, in school, in university, whatever you are doing, but in your deen you can't remain at one level. No, you have to move forward. If you fail to move forward, you're going backwards. So that concern has to be there. And the concern has to be built. Rasulullah, what didn't he do? He thought of the ummah and he wept. And he wept and he wept until Allah Ta'ala had to send Jibreel Salam, ask Muhammad Salam, what is causing him to weep? Just that reflection of the ummah. We are not yet born and he still is worried about us. We aren't yet born and he's worried about us. Okay, what's going to happen to this ummah? So his affection is so much that the Quran Sharif bears testimony, Harisun alaykum. When you say Haris, what do you mean by Haris? Haris is the one who's over anxious. You know, like the mother is over anxious for the child. The child must just grow. Everything must just happen for the child. Okay? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the anxiety for the ummah was that the Quran Sharif had to bear testimony, Harisun alaykum. He's over anxious for your progress, for your betterment. So this poetry is recited for this reason, that it creates that love for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The heart softens down. And once the heart softens down, then all is required is just to give it the right mold. When the right mold is given, then everything else will just conform. What the right mold? Your actions, your behavior, your character, your interaction, your socializing, your dealing, everything will just go. Just go. You just have to say the person, no, Nabi Sallam said this. It's enough. I don't need any further explanation. Nabi Sallam did not like this. I don't require further explanation. He didn't like it. But I just stopped there. No matter what can happen after that. But the fact that Nabi Sallam didn't like it, he didn't approve of this, I just stopped there. Stop on the tracks. No, he didn't like it. Finish. Class. So this can happen when that heart is softened, when that love is entrenched into the heart. Otherwise, until that heart is not entrenched with love, then you'll ask why, when, how, should I do it? That one Sahabi, Rasulullah doesn't return his salam. And he inquires what has happened. And he's told that the Bishop passed the house. He's built a house a little bit higher than the rest of the homes. And he felt that perhaps this was the reason that Rasulullah was disappointed. Without even asking anything, he went and raised it straight away. He didn't even bother to ask for some, Ya Rasulullah, but you know what? I'm building it strong, sturdy, firm. It'll be free maintenance, you know. Free maintenance. Now otherwise I'll build another type of a home. Every now and then I have to maintain the thing, see the thing, it'll become more costly, all that. He didn't bother to give any type of explanation. No, it's coming in the way of the love. It's coming in the way of love, then I can't stand it. I can't withstand this thing, it's coming on the way of love. Then it's either the love or the home. The home can go, but the love, I can't compromise the love. So this love has to be cultivated. We try our best to cultivate it. And one simple way, one is to read Durood Sharif. Like we're sleeping, we read Durood Sharif. How much we can, and sleep with Durood Sharif on our lips. And the other is to think about the good character of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his contribution, his sacrifices. As we're sleeping, we're thinking like this. Sahaba Ikram, some of them, think of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, think of the Sahaba Ikram, and then they sleep away. So that's the last thing on your mind. If you are sleeping, going off, you say, Allahumma bismika amutu, you are dying with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and with the Sahaba Ikram. The chances are, when you're dying with their memories, inshallah, if you really die, then you'll be risen with them, inshallah. And if you get up the following morning, then that was the last thing that was playing on your mind. So in the morning, now you're looking at things differently. What will be pleasing to my dear Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? What will be pleasing to the Sahaba Kiram? How can I just adjust myself? So whether you die or whether you are rising up in the morning, both ways you are scoring. that you are dying, you're dying with their love. Inshallah, if you die with their love, then you'll be joined with them, Allah Ta'ala willing. And if you go, get up in the morning, you're getting up with their love. So you've got a direction already. Allah Ta'ala grant us that understanding and tawfiq.